And so if we could, let's go, if we could, to Luke, the 14th chapter this morning. I would say I have a short word this morning, but every time I say that, I curse myself and it becomes a long word. But I just have a point to make, but it's powerful. I think this is one of the most powerful tools that the Lord has placed in the hands of the body of Christ. And sometimes, with our day-to-day, it is the most easily neglected. Now realize this is Jesus. These words are in red. And so Jesus in this message here this morning is sharing the heart of the Father. How many know you can grieve the Holy Ghost? You can quench the Holy Ghost. In fact, you can cooperate with the Holy Ghost. You can make the Holy Ghost happy and have a Holy Ghost party if you want to. But so when we're speaking this morning, I believe that the Holy Ghost is looking to partner with our response. Like Melanie said, on earth as it is in heaven. And it begins in verse 16. If everybody's there, say amen. Let's stand to our feet for the reading of the word. Jesus speaking, then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time, to say to those who are invited, come, for all things are ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask for your excuse. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to give me to be excused. And still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. And so the servant came and reported the things to the master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as I've done as you've commanded. But still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come that my house might be filled. For I say to you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my supper. Lord, I just ask your blessing on the reading of the word. Father, I pray that the pneuma, the breath of God, whatever is said this morning, Lord God, it would be backed up by the Holy Ghost. And Lord God, that courage would arise, opportunities would be seen, Lord God. And Father, that you would give us like rocket fuel motivation, because the day is at hand, the time is short, Lord. And we give you the praise for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. In the heart of God, how many of you know, I am thankful for everybody that comes to church. Hallelujah. I don't care how you got here. I don't care if the judge sentenced you to church every Sunday as part of your punishment. I'm just glad to see people in the door. That's one side of it. And I don't preach to people that aren't here. That's the other side of it. But can we just say this? That God, the Father, in this text, wants his house to be full. And I'm going to say this as well. There are not going to be any seats at the table of the marriage supper of the Lamb. God is going to have his way. I think that one of the most powerful things, you say, what is the Lord saying to the church in this season? There's lots of amazing things that the Lord is saying to the church. But I think one of the things that God is saying to the church is the Spirit and the bride have got to come together and invite people. There is something called the power of invitation. One of the greatest tools that the Lord has given us, he sent the servants out and said, compel everybody. Now, listen, how many of you invited people to church or invited people to Christ or tried to get people to join you in something that you thought would be beneficial for their soul and they did not come? Is there anybody in here? This might just be me, but anybody ever been the last person to be picked on a team? Bo says, yep. Isn't that crazy how you'll never forget that? It doesn't matter if you're 4 or 45 years old. I'll never forget leaning up against the wall in dodgeball at gym class. And it's like, There's Dan. So then the teacher has to place me with a team that probably doesn't want me. That doesn't make you feel the love. The power of invitation, if somebody would have asked me to be on their team, I didn't care who it was. I just want to belong. Because invitation does something specific to us. It's part of belonging. It's part of identity. It's part of community. Everybody in the core of your essence of who you are wants to fit in, wants to belong somewhere. And invitation is the hinge in which that door swings. The invitation. Anybody ever cook a big meal for somebody, speaking about this scripture? Cook a big meal for somebody. Oh, I hope the kids are coming. The kids said they're going to come over. Oh, the friends said they're going to come over. Oh, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Oh, we're going to do this. And you got all this food. Oh, so I got some people shaking their heads. You got all this food. And somebody's getting married. And somebody just bought a... Think about this, Sean Rick. Have you ever bought a piece of land that you have not seen? Right? I bought a piece of land, I need to go see it. Anybody ever bought an ox or a car maybe that you haven't tried out yet? Maybe today people do that all the time, but I want to kick tires. By the way, in the text, he wasn't saying to divorce your wife and come to the supper. He was saying, I've got a dinner prepared for you, maybe bring her with you. But he said, you know what, I'm too busy with my new life to take time. And the crazy thing is they did not know what they were missing. I believe this is all the disciples. It's like at the time when a young Jewish boy, he would go through his bar mitzvah and he had come of age, all of the, not the Pharisees, but all the rabbis would pick, hand-pick, invite people to be part of their group, part of their class. And the ones that didn't get picked, they went and worked in their father's trade, whether it was making furniture or being a shepherd of sheep or whatever. And so when Jesus, I just see the heart of Jesus with this. And Jesus, when he went to invite people to be his disciples, to be his apostles, I think he looked out and picked, invited everybody that nobody else wanted to pick. That's his heart. His heart is to invite. I believe there's a compulsion right now. There are so many people that are ripe cherries about to fall off the tree. They are just waiting for somebody to say, come and see. You know, I got saved to serve. Now, I got saved because of love, right? I'm not talking hyper-performance, religious activities, earning my way with fellowship with the Lord. But man, when I got born again, I got something good. And there was something inside of me that compelled me to tell people, won't you come to church with me? Well, I don't have a ride. Well, I'll pick you up, right? Eliminate the excuses. I think when we see Jesus, every single one of us are going to have one or two things. We're either going to have an excuse or a testimony. Years ago, Mount St. Helens, there was a grumpy old atheist man, and they kept telling him, get out of the area. It's about, and he just dug his, I'm not coming. And he got buried under thousands of tons of ash. And if I was to look at that in this analogy, now, the world might go on and on. It might be years before Jesus comes back. We might be able to enjoy our children's children and our great-grandchildren. So I'm not putting a time frame on things, but how many of you, every single one of us, have a shelf life, and it's not very long. The Bible says that as it was, basically, in the days of Noah, men will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And then suddenly, there's a suddenly that is going to happen to an unaware generation. And it says that our life is like a vapor. It's like a flower that grows up one minute and is gone the next, like a blade of grass who comes up and the sun dries it up. We are all short timers here. And sometimes we can get discouraged because when we first got saved, maybe we invited people to come and they didn't come. So we just quit inviting. I would say that's the first group. And Jesus says, well, they're not going to listen. Go find somebody that will. If I just had a few minutes, if I knew I just had a few days, can I get real with it? If I knew I just had a few minutes and I just had a few days and I knocked on somebody's door and I said, come and dine. come and accept the grace of God. Come and have your sins forgiven. Come and find life and life abundant. If somebody didn't listen to me, I wasn't gonna, I might not be crying in my Cheerios too long. I'd be going to the next door and the next door and the next door. Maybe everybody's not gonna get it, but maybe some are. Don't be discouraged, church. The power of your invitation can change lives. An invitation is so powerful. An invitation received. I was saved to serve. The voice of God, it says in 2 Corinthians. It says that we, every one of you, by the way, we are all ministers. We're all ministers. Can I say something to you? Maybe you're not all stand up, but you're all pastors. You're all leaders. You're all evangelists. He didn't put these fivefold gifts at the pinnacle of the church as leadership. He put them in the foundation of the church to activate the body of Christ, which is who we are. And so you are a prophetic, evangelistic, teaching, pastoral, apostolic group of people. You carry that nature. And if you say, well, I'm not any of that. Well, maybe you're not an evangelist, but you can be an invitationalist, if that's even a word. Is that a word, Ron Benda? Invitationalist? Ask Gina. She knows. She knows better than... She's like, Maybe I'm not an evangelist. I'm an invitationalist. I don't know it all, but I can invite somebody to come. I think that's what sets us back on our heels sometimes. Well, what if they say no? Well, what if they say yes? What if they look at you wrong? Well, who cares? Really? I write on my heart, I am not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Because whenever I'm ashamed to share the gospel because of what people will think of me, I'm more concerned about my image than his image. And whenever my image is more important than his image, I'm an idol. I was made to be in his image, not my image. Shatter my image, but form me in the image of Christ, who has says that he is standing at the door knocking. Jesus is a door knocker. He's going from door to door, house to house, heart to heart, trying to compel people, won't you come? I think sometimes we're afraid because we're afraid we'll be rejected, and everybody's afraid of rejection. But you know what? I think sometimes we're afraid that they'll ask us questions that we don't have answers to. Well, did Adam have a belly button or not? Why do babies die? If God's so in control, why is the world going to double hockey sticks in a handbasket? Why? You know, can I just take a load off? You don't have to have all the answers. Only he does. We're not called to point to us as the end-all and be-all to explain God. We've just got to be a sign. A sign doesn't have all the answers. A sign just points in a direction. I don't have all the answers. I can't explain why God does and how God does certain things, and I don't know everything that's happening behind the scene. God did not call me to be an attorney. He called me to be a witness. And the witness is this simple. What I was, what he did for me, and what he can do for you. It's that simple. Well, I can't answer those questions, but I can tell you what he did for me and what I was. And that he's no respecter of people and he can do it for you. I think this, if we just tune our ears, every complaint, we're in a murmuring, complaining generation. Every complaint is an opportunity to give Jesus as the solution. Oh, you're going to complain about money? You're going to complain about, what you're doing is you don't know in the spirit, you are crying out for an answer to your soul. And we're carrying the solution here. So take the weight off of you. Your invitation is just that. It's an invitation. Who prepared the meal? The Lord prepared the meal. The Lord prepared the dinner. The Lord prepared the portion. It says, and I'm going to say this again. It says that God, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Do we all believe that? And now, to those of us who believe in Jesus, he has entrusted and gifted to us, it says, a ministry of reconciliation, or a ministry of invitation. And it says, and has given us the Spirit as though, as when God was in Christ, the Spirit is within us crying out to this generation, be reconciled unto God. I'm possessed, if I'll yield to it, because God doesn't take control of you, you've got to yield yourself to it. It's not like a demon. This is God. He doesn't want slaves. He wants sons and daughters. So if you yield to it and say, Lord, I want to be possessed by the Spirit of invitation and reconciliation, that you dislocate my heart. And if there's somebody that I have not invited to you, or I have not invited to church, or maybe invited into my home, this is the season, because I believe that God is working on hearts. I think in my own life and in Nellie's life, think about how your life has changed over the reception of a simple invitation. Where would you be? Where would I be? If Melanie, which, can I just say this? She got in a little bit of trouble. She was not being a good girl. She had chilling and all that stuff and got hung up in all the stuff that they were doing, and ended up getting grounded by the law for a couple months or something like that. Okay, we'll stop. A friend asked her to a youth camp. Well, she went from having no time on her hands to having maybe a little bit more time on her hands, and she ended up going to a Chrysalis, a youth group. And she always says, my soul got recycled. A girl in church invited her to a youth camp, and she got radically changed. And when I look at the fragility of life and the decisions we make, sometimes I got to back up when I'm talking about the power of invitation. And I can say this, what if that girl in Spencer County would not have looked at my wife and invited her to a church camp that under any other circumstance, she would have said no or not been able to go? It shifted the whole trajectory of her life. Me being invited to come to Duggar by an old man. Strange. I could have said no. Me being invited, hey, would you want to drive 3 hours once a month to a meeting, right, Chip? Over on the other side, Versailles or Versailles, whichever, Indiana. It's Versailles in Indiana. It's Versailles. And how my life was changed by simply receiving a simple invitation. Well, I got born again, and my pastor said, this is just the beginning. I said, well, I want more. I want more. And he said, we didn't have like a normal prayer meeting, but Marion was at church at 6 o'clock in the morning, every Saturday morning. And he said, well, I'm praying at 6 in the morning on Saturday mornings. I invite you to come pray with me. And so it was kind of like this. Marion would invite me to come pray, so I would show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which I was totally messing up his prayer meeting. You understand that? Do you understand by inviting people, you're messing up your own rhythm? In invitations, it is just great. It's easy to be us four no more, okay? But when you begin to invite people, you begin to get personalities in you, different dynamics. And Jesus said, I don't care the dynamics. I don't care if they're blind or halt or maimed, go to the highways and the byways. Listen, some people will never believe until they belong. Can I say that? Some people will never believe. We try and get them to believe before they belong. What if they felt like they belong before they believe? So they have a context in the difference. What was it? Well, get saved, read the litmus. You can belong before you believe. And I think that's the disciples weren't believers. You understand that? Like 10, 15 chapters or so into Matthew, Jesus looks at them. They've been with him the whole time. They belonged. Jesus looks at him and says, now you believe? Just they had been doing signs, wonders, and miracles, and they were still non-believers. Think about that. Think about the grace of God in that stuff. Jesus, now you believe? So Marion, back to Marion. So I come at 6 o'clock in the morning. Marion's praying, and I am a disruption to his prayer because he is there to be alone with the Lord. I would sit in right behind him. I didn't want to sit in the front row with him. So I sit behind him, and I just look at him, wait for him to finish praying so I could talk. It was like the stalker. And so I found he started praying at 5:30 in the morning and didn't tell me about it. So by the time I showed up, he was already at the altar and been praying for half an hour. But can I share something with you? That invitation to prayer changed my life. Just prayer. But if he wouldn't have invited me, you know, we have our schedules full. And we put up videos and all these different things, and people see what the church is doing. But sometimes the gap between what we're doing and somebody entering in is somebody simply saying, come with me. Jesus is, of everything, the great inviter. He does something with Philip. He prophesies over Philip. Philip says, he says, behold, I saw you praying under the tree, a man in whom there is no guile. He says, this has got to be Messiah. He knows everything about me. And Philip asks something really crazy. He says, where are you staying? How many of you, if somebody asks and you weren't afraid of them, you had no trepidation or anything like that, where are you staying? How many of you would have given them your address? I would have given my address. Jesus didn't give his address. That's information. He gave them invitation. Big difference. Where do you live, Dan? 971 North County Road, 875 East. That's where I live. Look it up in the... Do we still have phone books? It doesn't matter. Where do you live? There's a big difference between giving information and giving invitation. Jesus looks at him and he says, where do you live? And Jesus says, come and see. That's it. And then Philip goes on and looks at some of the disciples and said, I think I found the Messiah. He told me everything I ever did, all this, you know. And they say, where's he from? And he said, well, he's from Nazareth. And they say, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And so that spirit of invitation jumps on Philip and says, come and see for yourself. Jesus looks at Peter and Andrew, says, come follow me. Invitation. They didn't have to. Come follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. When people accept the invitation from Jesus that comes through us, what ends up happening is Jesus, through the process of the power of invitation, begins to make them become something that they were not before by simply receiving it. I love the story of Mephibosheth and David. Mephibosheth wounded, one of Jonathan's sons. And David sits this big table and says, get Mephibosheth in here. Now, he is a grandson of the king, and he's thinking that David's going to cut him off at the throat because he's of the lineage of Saul. David brings him in. Mephibosheth is scared to death, and he doesn't understand that he had prepared a meal and provision and protection and blessing because of the covenant he was in with Mephibosheth's father. And some of the people that are invited to church feel the same way. You invite them to church, they say, oh, this is a trick. They're inviting me here to expose me. The ceiling's going to fall in and all this. And they come in and they find out, you know what? It's nothing like I thought it was. We're more than songs and sermons, handshakes and hugs. When we come in here as the body of Christ, I am not inviting them to some group of people that love Jesus only. I am inviting, because culturally that might be something completely different, but I'm inviting them into a presence of the atmosphere of God that has the ability through my invitation to make them to become something that they never were before. I want to read in Revelation real quick. The 22nd chapter. I love this, reasons. Isaiah 1:15, God. Come now and let us reason together. And though your sins are scarlet, I will wash them as white as snow. God's like summoning. He's like, come on. I know you're dirty. I know you're wearing stuff. I know you've been through stuff. But just come and let's just talk together for a little. Let's just hang out for a little bit. And through the relationship that I build with you, I'll make that which is lacking, that which was dirty, that which is shameful, I'll wash it. I'll make it as white as snow. It goes on to say in Isaiah 55, come all you who are thirsty, eat and drink without cause. He offers us forgiveness, but he also offers us satisfaction for our soul. Everybody within the sound of my voice has a hunger in their soul. Doesn't matter how many cars you own, how much money you make, how many natural friends that you have. There is a God size, and I've heard this for years, and it's true. There is a God size hole in people's heart that only he can fill. God's like, you know, God's not a beggar. God's not a beggar. The closest thing I can ever find to God begging for anything is you. He's like, come. Come on, just come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And in me, you're going to find rest for your soul. That's not your spirit. That's just not born again. They're used synonymous with each other, but your soul is your mind, will, emotion, personality. I think we got a bunch of weary souls in our generation. And God's saying, if you'll send out the invitation, I'll give relief to the weary soul. Coming up in Easter, by the way, we're going to do something called an Easter Blitz. And what we're going to do is we're going to map out this area here. We're going to break into teams. How many of you believe God's going to do some resurrection stuff on Sunday morning and Easter? I believe that. I completely believe that. And so we're going to break up into teams. We got together with Sister Morales this week, and we're going to send groups to knock on doors with a gift bag and invite people that do not have a church to come. We're going to start at 10 o'clock in the morning. I believe that it is April the 9th. If I'm accurate, that's the first time ever I've been accurate on a time and a date. I got an anointing for announcements right now. It's just, what in the world? So we're going to knock on doors, and we're going to invite them to come. We're not going to be pushy. We're going to give an invite. You got a church? That's fantastic. You got a church? You got a home? Praise God for that. But what if some don't? What if simply people have never been invited? And they are assuming, we assume they know we're here. We assume they know what we know, they assume that we're available. Sometimes it takes a one-on-one interaction for that. This is our mantra. This is our whosoever will scripture. This is our mandate from God. And Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according to his work. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning and the end. I am the first, listen to this, and I am the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves to practice a lie. And Jesus is this, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the church. I am the root, speaking of his lineage, and the offspring of David. Now listen to this, I am the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star is what shines right before the new day dawns. That's part of our prophetic word. Don't say that it's a dark night. It is the dawn of a new day. And I believe that Jesus is the bright and morning star. If you go right now, how many know there's a Hollywood Walk of Fame and all the Hollywood stars, and there's just a couple things you got to do to be Hollywood star in that walkway there. A, you've got to do something notable as far as the film industry. Two, the people who choose have got to like you. And three, you've got to pay $30,000 to get your star put in the ground. But Jesus is the bright and morning star. When everything else looks dark, he's the one that shines the light. And he paid more than $30,000 for his star. He gave his precious blood to redeem the lost of a generation for each and every one of us. And it goes on to say this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come, and whoever desires, it says, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. 1,189 chapters in your Bible. And the last thing God says, he says three times. The last thing he says three times. That's verily, 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 I say unto you. Get it. If you don't get it now, get it again, get it again. Nail this, tattoo this in the fleshly tablet of your heart. Understand, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, come. And let them come. And I think there is a signal going out in the earth right now that the Spirit has already said, come. I'm going to say that. You didn't find God, God found you. You might say it and not mean it, but if you mean it and you say that you found God, you didn't find God. God was not lost, you were lost. You couldn't even find yourself, much less find God. Unless you're drawn by the Spirit of God, the Bible says that nobody can enter in. It is impossible for you to be saved without the Spirit of God summoning you and saying, come. And when the Lord starts softening your heart, you don't even know what's happening. You just know there's a compulsion. You just know that sometimes there's a holy dissatisfaction with your life. However it happens, the Spirit goes out first and says, come. But there's a twofold covenant in this. The Spirit says, come. But then the bride, on earth as it is in heaven, has got to follow it up with a come. Come up hither. What if God is speaking to people all around us all the time and we never give them an invite? The Spirit's compelling them, but like ripe cherries, I said, falling off the tree, all they're looking. I have led people to the Lord, honest to God. I have led people to the Lord and I didn't even witness to them. I just sat down with them. I mean, I could have said Mary had a little lamb and they're like, yeah, I know I need Jesus. I sit down with some people, and the Spirit's been working on them so much, they just know I'm a Christian. I'll sit down and say, you know, God's got better for you. And then they give you all the litany and all the things that they've been through, and they know they need to give their heart. And next thing you know, all you guys, they're already accepting the Lord. I mean, it's effortless. The Spirit does its work. Can we say that? The Spirit does its work. But we've got a little bit to do. We've got to hand out some invitations because the Spirit's saying come, but now the bride's got to follow it up and say, come on. It's time. It's past time. Yeah. And like I said, you know, most people don't talk about this anymore, but I'm just going to get real. None of us have long in this earth. None of us do. None of us have long. I got one chance. I got one opportunity to give multiple invitations to many people who are just waiting to taste and see that the Lord is good. Something that is super, super frustrating to me, just to bare my soul with you, me and my dad have hit a few revivals in the past, and man, the preacher would preach an amazing message, bow your head in prayer and dismiss, and not give an invitation. What? You just showed us the whole menu. We're drooling. We're ready for it. And you don't invite us to come up and eat any of it? Are you serious? The most important part of any time we get together, I believe, is not only our fellowship and our worship, but it's the invitation of people. Whether it's for healing or deliverance, salvation, reconciliation. God's got an invitation. And maybe the people we've invited in the past haven't come. And that doesn't mean that we give up on them. But maybe the ones that we're familiar with, the friends and family plan, maybe it's time we go to the highway and the byway. And in fact, the Bible says in Matthew, it says, bring in the same text, it says, bring in both good and bad. Well, in God's eyes, you're not going to find any good person. Just saying. Your righteousness is filthy rag. So let's just bring them all in. The old pastor would say, you know what? You catch the fish, let God clean them. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't help, we don't admonish, encourage, sometimes correct. But let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to pray for us. Lord, in thinking about this, we all know what it's like to not be invited. We all know what it's like to not be welcomed, to be picked for the team, invited to the birthday party. We all know that feeling. On the flip side, we all know what it's like to cook a big meal, prepare games, and objects of affection for the people that we love and them not show up. That hurt is part of your heart for this generation. And so Lord, I just repent this morning. Maybe they're up and inners or down and outers, Lord, but everybody is impoverished without knowing you. And so, Lord, I just pray that we as a body, that we would pick up the call. We have been saved to serve this generation. An invitation for the marriage supper of the Lamb is ready, but it's waiting for its guests to be full. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God. Many people deal with many things. I thank you, Lord God. Every chair in this house is going to be full. They're already there. They're waiting for the invitation. Maybe they're not going to receive a come to church. Maybe they're going to receive a come with me. Come with me to church. When we come together, Lord, and people accept the invitation, Lord, I thank you, Lord, we're not inviting them, Lord God, to a service. We're inviting them to an encounter with your presence because your Spirit's already working on them. And it's already here to finish the work in their lives. And so if you just say, this week, just an act of faith, a prophetic act of obedience, you say, I want to be more sensitive. I have a mission. I have a ministry of reconciliation. I am an invitationalist, which is a word now. Look it up. In the dictionary, I'm an invitationalist. I can do that. I'll get over myself. I'm less afraid of their rejection and more concerned with God's acceptance. Lord, help us to go into the highways. If you want to invite people this week to Christ, invite them maybe over to your house. Invite them to church. Invite them for an Easter service. Invite them out for a meal, whatever it is. But you open your heart to be those inviters. I want you to slip up your hand. Man, Lord, pick me. I want to invite. Well, Lord, we thank you that you're going to put the words in our mouth. And Lord, we thank you as we go. And as you stand at the door, knock on their hearts, Lord, we thank you that you have prepared a way for us. I see open doors, open hearts, open minds, receptive to your invitation. And this morning, I also pray this. If there's someone in here and you have not accepted the Lord, the Spirit and the bride says, come. He has healing, forgiveness, sustenance for your soul, acceptance, belonging. You weren't a mistake. He made you on purpose. He chose you with a holy calling. He lived the spotless life. He fulfilled all the prophetic scriptures. He died for your sin, for you and as you. He rose again on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave, coming out of that tomb. He gave a call, come unto me. And if that's you, you say, I want to accept Christ this morning. I want you to slip up your hand and I want to pray with you. And I want to see that transformation happen in your heart, just like it did mine. I don't have all the answers, but I do have a testimony. I have a testimony, but I can't even explain how God did it. I don't know. I lived it, but beyond me. Well, if everybody's born again this morning, I'm gonna ask one more time, anybody want to accept Christ? Well, if we're all born again, Lord, help us to be busy about our Father's business. Help us to be found doing the most important things, Lord. Help us to make those things a priority in our day today. As your prophetic word was for us this year, if we'll give you our schedule, our priorities, you'll give us our daily bread. I bless my family this morning in Jesus' name.